WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? I tell you what, is it a nice day outside or what? 70 degrees, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and I tell you what, you are live right here tuned in to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you today. Of course, yes, we will talk all about Deflategate, the new developments concerning the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. What should happen to Tom and his relation to this team? Oh boy, we'll debate about that. We'll also talk about the Detroit Tigers falling to the Chicago White Sox, back-to-back losses in that series. Verlander cleared to throw. Also, it's Thursday, so we love to hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what happened on this day in sports history. And yeah, we got a great, pretty cool feature, I want to say, from current state's own Scott Pohl, who actually went out and profiled golf boarding. If you don't know what that is, you are definitely going to want to tune in and keep it locked right here to find out. We'll have all of that, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527. But hey, let's first start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Thursday, May 7th. Let's start first with some high school news. CAAC Blue Rivals Holt and Okemos High School will be partaking in a softball doubleheader today in hopes of raising money for the Alzheimer's Association. Now, it's the fifth consecutive year the two teams have battled for increased awareness of the deadly disease. The first game begins at 4 p.m. and will be played at Holt High School. Now, admission to the game is totally free, but all of the proceeds from concessions and the 50-50 raffle will go to the Alzheimer's Association. A purple bracelet in support of Alzheimer's awareness will also be on sale. Fantastic event right there. All right, Michigan State women's basketball standouts Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers are among 54 players who have accepted invitations to the USA Basketball Women's Pan American Games and World University Games team trials. Now, the duo, who are the top two scorers for the Spartans this year, are among nine Big Ten players that will participate in tryouts, which occur on May 14th to the 17th at the U.S. Open Olympic Training Center out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, the trials will determine 12-player teams, I should say, for the Pan American Games and the University World Games. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they lost to the Chicago White Sox last night, 7-6, the final of that one. The Tigers now have lost back-to-back games against the Shy. Now, the White Sox came back to score four runs in the bottom of the eighth. Jabba Chamberlain came in with a 6-3 lead and got the first two batters he faced out. But then, yeah, it kind of went awry after that. He gave up six consecutive hits, including a game-tying three-run home run to Melky Cabrera and an RBI single to Abisail Garcia. Now, the final game of the series is today at 2:10 p.m. Detroit left-handed pitcher Kyle Lobstein, he faces Chicago left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana. All right, and also news concerning the Detroit Tigers. Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander, he made 50 tosses in the outfield after being cleared by the doctors to throw. Now, Verlander has been sidelined since the start of the year with a strained right triceps injury. Detroit manager Brad Ausmus said there is no set timetable for Verlander's return. All right, NBA playoff action last night. The Cleveland Cavaliers topped the Chicago Bulls 106-91. How good was LeBron James last night? Oh, my goodness. All right, the Houston Rockets, they beat the LA Clippers 115-109. All conference semifinal series are now tied at one game apiece. In NHL playoff action, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Montreal Canadiens 2-1 to take a 3-0 series lead, I should say. The Washington Capitals, they beat the New York Rangers 2-1 to take a 3-1 series lead in that series. And also, some interesting news concerning one fan who attended last night's Tampa Bay Lightning game. A Tampa Bay Lightning fan was removed from the game after Tampa police found a gun on him. Are you kidding me? Now, 27-year-old Lucas Cassidy from St. Petersburg is facing a second-degree misdemeanor charge and was given a notice to appear in court. Police said he had a concealed weapons permit. If he had not had a permit, he might have been facing a felony charge. All right, all reports are leading to this one. Jimmy Butler is said to have won the NBA's Most Improved Player Award. Now, the formal announcement will come later this week. Butler rejected an extension offer from the Chicago Bulls, and betting on himself will likely lead to a max contract in the offseason as a restricted free agent. Jimmy Butler, you are a smart man, my friend. All right, and last but not least, yes, more news concerning the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight and fiasco aftermath. The mother of three of Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s children is suing the undefeated boxing champion for defamation over his recent comments about her and a 2010 domestic violence attack in Las Vegas. Now, Josie Harris filed a lawsuit on Tuesday in Los Angeles Superior Court days after her ex-boyfriend defeated Manny Pacquiao in that highly anticipated bout. The lawsuit focuses on comments Mayweather made during an April interview with Yahoo's news anchor Katie Couric, in which he said that he was restraining his ex-girlfriend and that she was on drugs at the time of the incident. Oh, boy. Sticky, icky. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in right now, taking calls all the way up until 2 p.m. And without further ado, yeah, I think it's about that time to start the show.
Answer right now, is Tom Brady a cheater?
I don't believe so. I mean, I feel like I've always played within the rules. I would never do anything to break the rules. You know, I didn't alter the ball in any way. I have a process that I go through before every game where I go in and I pick the balls that I want to, the footballs that I want to use for the game. When I pick those footballs out, at that point, you know, to me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that.
Oh boy, yeah, folks, we're still talking about it. We are still talking about it. I actually really thought, honestly thought, that this conversation was said and done and in the books after the Super Bowl took place. Oh boy, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. How about that throwback joint, huh? D-Train. Isaac, what you know about D-Train, man? It's back in the 80s, son. That's one of my all-time favorite throwback joints. You know that joint?
I actually didn't hear that one until now. I like it. It sounds great.
It's hot. On a beautiful day like today, you put those windows down, you throw that song on, instantly put you in a great mood, man.
I need to get that one on vinyl, yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, brother, put it on your people don't use, what do they call it, iPods anymore? People don't use iPods. Just put it on your phone and throw it in your car, all right? That's great stuff. But all right, folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355 9527 517-355 9527. Later on today's show, again, as I kind of previewed in my my intro to start the hour, Scott Pohl of WKAR's Current State, he did one magnificent job on this story. A pretty cool story that I had actually come across when I was just browsing Facebook like a few weeks ago. And you know, Facebook, I mean, there's a lot of garbage on Facebook. And every once in a while, though, you'll come across something that's very intriguing. And I was just scrolling through, and I saw this story on golf boarding. I'm not going to let the cat out the bag and kind of ruin, you know, Scott's story and let you guys know what it is beforehand. But I tell you what, if you're an avid golfer or just a casual sports fan in general, you do not want to miss this story. OK, folks, Unbelievably cool stuff. So we'll play Scott Pohl's story on the show. You don't want to miss that. We'll also have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll also debate about Jimmy Butler. As you just heard in our Quick Hit Headliners, Jimmy Butler is supposedly going to be named as the NBA's most improved player. Real quick, Isaac, you like that?
I do like it. I think Draymond's, I'm interested to hear his reaction, though, not winning either Defensive Player of the Year or Most Improved Player of the Year, because
I
remember his reaction to not winning Defensive Player. You remember that one,
Al? Oh, I definitely do. He was kind of shocked.
He was.
Yeah, he was definitely shocked. And I think it was kind of a toss-up. For me, I could have seen it going either way. I love Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard is a fantastic player. He can guard wings. He's a gritty type of defensive player. I love him. But Draymond was fantastic. The thing, when you take into account that Draymond is going against, you know, because he's not, think about Draymond Green is he's an undersized forward. So on most nights, he's going against guys who definitely have a size advantage on him, but he's so athletic and he knows the game so well that, you know, he makes it seem like a walk in the daisies. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I could see how he can be a little bit perturbed about that. But with both of those awards, though, I mean, with Kawhi Leonard and, of course, giving this one to Jimmy Butler, I mean, do you think they got it right?
I think they did on both accounts.
I did
have
too.
To say.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it would have been great to see Draymond win one of the awards, but he'll have plenty of years to come. I mean, his ceiling's only.
He's only going higher, right?
Even gotten close. Those are some chandelier ceilings. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Those are mansion like ceilings, right? Yeah. So we'll talk about Jimmy Butler later on in the show. Again, folks, the number to call is 517-355-9527. But as you just heard in our montage, right after our headliners, of course, that was Tom Brady during the press conference that everyone remembers. Of course, the New England Patriots, they had booked a ticket to the Super Bowl to take on, of course, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. And right after the New England Patriots had knocked off the Indianapolis Colts, and I always say, going back and looking at that game, it wouldn't have mattered what type of ball they would have been playing with that game. I mean, the Patriots just laid the smackdown. It wasn't even close. Again, they could have played with a beach ball in that game and still won and blown out the Indianapolis Colts. It just wasn't their day. But at the end of the day, folks, this is the thing about sports. And let's be honest here, because we always keep it real here on Current Sports. When it comes to competition, and when it comes to the world of competition and sports in general, no matter what sport it is, you better believe that the greats of the game, those who have immense success and reached that pinnacle of calling themselves the creme de la creme in pro sports, folks, they are always trying to look for a competitive advantage. When thinking about this topic, always, you know, because I'm a big Michael Jordan fan, one of the biggest Michael Jordan fans you ever meet in your life. And I always, you know, go back to when after Michael had retired. You know, not the first retirement, you know, with the Bulls, but I'm talking about the last one with the Washington Wizards, if you can recall that one, right? And I never forget when Michael, he sat down with 60 Minutes on CBS. And, you know, they were talking about Michael's competitive drive because Michael, you know, was known across the entire league, just in the world of sports, as being one of the most competitive individuals you ever meet in your life, even away from basketball. You know, if Michael Jordan was playing a game of cards against whoever, Michael was just unbelievably competitive. He was trying to not just beat you, but stomp on your throat. That's what made Mike, you know, great. And that's what makes the greats great, to be honest with you. They just have this level, this switch that turns on whenever they are in a competitive atmosphere. You know, sometimes to the extreme where, you know, it kind of, you know, you don't have many friends because of that. You know what I mean? You take everything too serious. But that's what made Mike great. And Mike always talked about how he would always try to find an advantage within the game of basketball. And there's one instance he always talks about that he brings up. You know, sometimes when Mike was dribbling the ball down the court, you know, the referee may have been flanked to his left or right. Mike would see where the referee was. And, you know, when Mike had the ball in his hands, he would locate the referee. And then he would sort of estimate his angle to where the referee could see him dribbling the basketball. And whatever, you know, whatever side of his defender that the referee couldn't really see, Michael would go to his offhand, which meaning that, you know, the hand that he's not dribbling the basketball with, use that hand to tug on and pull his opposition close, and then take off. So while his opposition is moving forward because of the pull, Michael is taking off, you know, with that first step and going to the basket. That's just one of the accounts that Michael talked about in trying to find a competitive edge within the game. And then, you know, going back to the great days of Bill Russell and you know, Bob Cousy and the Celtics, they always talk about how any opposition that played them in the Garden, The opposition's locker room, folks, was just completely just nasty. Trash everywhere. It smelled. They did that on purpose so that they would have a mental edge within the game. And don't get me started in the world of baseball, folks. I mean, it seems as though every 4 or 5 months, we're talking about some new allegation in the world of Major League Baseball where someone is found to have juiced and used steroids. So everyone does. I mean, there's so many people out there that you know, greats of the game, and even some that, you know, aren't great at the game, but they just, you know, they're trying to move up that ladder. They're trying to find any competitive advantage so that it leads to wins and it leads to some sort of prolific career. That's just how sports is. And this is one of those instances. Tom Brady, the golden boy of the National Football League. I mean, how can you not like this guy? He goes out there, you know, first off, even dating back to his career with the University of Michigan, folks. When he left college, he wasn't this highly touted NFL draft pick. You guys know this story. I mean, you know, Tom was a late round pick. Nobody was really high on him. And when he was drafted, he always used and referenced that moment of the NFL draft where he wasn't highly touted. Everybody had their doubts and question marks about him. And he used that as a chip on his shoulder to motivate himself. And it transitioned to a lot of wins on the football field. And it transitioned to Tom Brady and his name being in the conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play professional football. Tom Brady did that, folks. And, you know, it's like once you get up on that mountaintop, once you become the best at what you do, folks, the only way to go is down. And you don't want to go down. You don't want to be that athlete who was once at the pinnacle of his career, his or her career, I should say. And, you know, after that, it was like, oh, yep, yep, here it comes. Oh, next week. Oh, that's a loss. Okay, here it comes. You don't want to be that athlete because then you become just a memory. Tom Brady has done a great job at staying relevant and staying as one of the best quarterbacks out there in the game. And once you reach that mountaintop, you know, the pressure becomes so insurmountable to stay on that mountaintop that you are willing to do whatever it takes to stay up there. And this is a classic case of that. Deflategate. The New England Patriots found to have deflated footballs, at least in that Indianapolis Colts game. And who knows how many times Tom Brady has done this throughout his entire career. He just got caught this instance. But, you know, the New England Patriots and Tom Brady ideally caught red-handed with deflated footballs to give them a competitive edge and advantage in that game against the Indianapolis Colts, which propelled them to the Super Bowl, in which, of course, they raised a trophy this year. So when you look at it, you know, this report is really quite disturbing when you really break down and read the specifics of this. I think it's like a 200-page report, Isaac. I think it's unbelievable. I mean, it's thicker than anything I've ever seen in my life. It's thicker than an NFL playbook. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, really the two guys who are in the midst of this whole conversation are, of course, Jim McNally, a locker room attendant for the New England Patriots, and John Jastrzemski, an equipment assistant for the team who was responsible for preparing game balls. Just to read you a few text messages here. The discussion began before the start of the year, really, when McNally referred to himself as, quote-unquote, the deflator. Now, this exchange occurred on May 9th, 2014. McNally, you working? Jastrzemski replies, yep. McNally says, nice, dude. Jimmy needs some kicks. Let's make a deal. Come on. Help the deflator. Then McNally goes on to text again. Chill, buddy. I'm just messing with you. I'm not going to ESPN yet. And then another exchange occurred. This took place on October 17th, a game between the Patriots and Jets when Brady complained about the air pressure of the game balls. McNally says, Tom sucks. I'm going to make that next ball a balloon. Jastrzemski replies and says, talk to him last night. He actually brought you up and said you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done. Jastrzemski says, I told him it was. He was right, though. Then he goes on to say, I checked some of the balls this morning. The refs messed us over. A few of them were almost 16. Now, that's talking about the air pressure in the football, folks. Then he goes on to say, they didn't recheck them after they put the air on them. Then McNally goes on to say, torn 16 is nothing. Wait till next Sunday. And then Jasper Miski says, oh my goodness, OMG, spaz. And then you could go on and on. There is pages and pages and pages, folks, of exchanges between McNally, Jasper Miski, and I didn't even know this. Actually, on my drive to work today, I'm listening to the radio, listening to Mike and Mike, and there is actually an account, like a timetable, of Tom Brady's phone calls and text messages right after the New England Patriots had knocked off the Indianapolis Colts and when this story, quote-unquote, broke. You know, there's accounts of, you know, Tom Brady being on the phone for 13 minutes here and there with McNally. Then McNally shooting some text messages to Tom. Tom saying, hey, bro, chill, chill. It's all good, you know? And then just these exchanges back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Folks, I don't care how you try to spin this. And you know, I've heard a few analysts, national analysts on ESPN and so forth say, oh, well, you know, you don't have Tom coming out and saying, yeah, deflate the ball to this and that. There's no hard core evidence. Are you kidding me? Have you read the text messages? How is there not hardcore evidence that suggests that Tom Brady had some sort of knowledge in deflating footballs throughout the season? I mean, you gotta be Stevie Wonder if you don't see this, folks. Let's wake up here. I understand Tom Brady, and you know, it's funny because I also read a story today about, you know, Tom Brady's dad, Tom Brady Sr. coming out and defending his son, which, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, let's just say this is, you know, if this is my brother or a relative of mine, and he was caught doing something like this, I got his back. I'm his family member. I'm his blood. I get that. So what do you expect Tom Sr. to do? And actually, Tom's dad is he's trying to take a spin on the words here. He's calling it Framegate, if anything. And you know, you look at it, then he's sort of blaming the NFL to try to come at Tom Brady. Let's think about this. This is Tom Brady we're talking about here, folks. This is one of the biggest names and biggest faces in all of sports, let alone the NFL. Why in the world would the NFL try to tarnish his reputation? He drives in revenue for the NFL. He puts money in the pockets of some of the upper echelons of the National Football League. So why would the NFL want to do that to Tom Brady? Well, let's just be honest here, folks. That's just like the boxing commission trying to defame Floyd Mayweather Jr., knowing that Floyd Mayweather is the biggest money getter in all of the sport. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. That's not logical here. Now, do I think there's fans out there that want to see Tom Brady and the New England Patriots go down? Without a doubt. There's a lot of New England Patriots haters out there. Another thing, when you talk about reaching the pinnacle in the creme de la creme of sports, once you reach that mountaintop, you know what? Everyone wants to knock you down. You become an easy target, folks. So I get that as well. So, you know, as far as the NFL wanting to you know, put it to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, I just don't see that. I just don't see that. Tom Brady's in the wrong here, though, folks. You know, and we, you know, as Isaac and I, you know, we talked about yesterday, Isaac, when this story broke, because it literally broke 11 minutes before we went off the air during yesterday's show. And we, you know, we had our, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, I went back and listened to our initial reactions of it. And I, you know, I went as far as to say, man, they should take away a Super Bowl. Think about that. You know, which I definitely stand towards still. You know what I mean? But at the same time, when looking at the punishment for conduct detrimental to the team and organization, I, you know, looking at the maximum punishment for an individual player who is involved in that sort of activity is a maximum of, I believe, 4 games. So I think they should use the harsh penalty here. Tom Brady clearly caught trying to alter balls, footballs, which have a direct correlation to impacting the game itself. I believe, I'm a strong believer, and if you are out there trying to impact the game itself and trying to find a competitive advantage that goes against the rules, then yes, you need to be punished to the fullest extent of what the rule book allows. So yeah, give Tom Brady 4 games, slap it to him, attack his pocketbook, and you know, if that's the extent you can do it, then hey, you punished him. But I do think Tom Brady is in some hot water right now that he can't escape. He can, the evidence, the proof is in the pudding in this report right now. I just don't think he can escape this. Isaac, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think first off, you're exactly right about Brady. He needs 4-game suspension because the thing is, the NFL, not only is this a big stand for them where they can say, you know, we don't care who it is, we go by the rules of the game, but they've had some problems with the situations like that in the past. The domestic violence cases, before the Ray Rice punching scandal really hit the media, mm-hmm. He had, what, two games? Two-game suspension?
Exactly.
So the NFL has had some problems with consistency and adhering to its own rules of suspensions in the past. Now it needs to take a stand. It needs to say, we don't care if this is one of our star athletes. Everybody abides by the rules when they play in the NFL. Because the NFL really has lost some credibility in the past. This is an opportunity for them to regain some of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, it's so interesting because when you're looking at the rules, the official rule book when it comes to an athlete who's involved with conduct that, you know, stems off the field, specifically when it comes to domestic violence, I mean, they didn't have a harsh penalty for domestic violence. And you're starting to see it happen more and more and more in any realm, let alone the NFL. It forced their hand to finally do something about it. You can't get to that boiling point, though. You can't let something reach that boiling point. I'm a firm believer in just nipping it in the bud as soon as you see it, so that anyone who, you know, wants to tread that fine line understands that there are going to be insurmountable repercussions that you're going to have to deal with. Simple as that. Now, you know, I also want to bring this up when it comes to the overall legacy of Tom Brady, because there are a lot of people out there that feel as though there's kind of a mixed reaction when looking at social media and, you know, a few of my, you know, texts with family members and a few of my friends when we were talking about this yesterday. You know, there's some that believe that this will completely tarnish the reputation of Tom Brady and what he has meant to the National Football League. And there's some that believes, you know, it's just some footballs. I mean, he'll get over it. You know, this isn't going to hurt Tom Brady in, as far as looking at what type of player he was in his career. I tend to sway on that second notion because at the end of the day, and, you know, again, it just goes back to my rant to start this discussion on athletes trying to find a competitive advantage. I'm pretty sure, Isaac, there's other players out there that have at least tried to tamper with the footballs. I'm pretty sure right now as we speak, there are NFL coaches and or players that are trying to, you know, again, you're talking about treading lines, are trying to walk that fine line between cheating and finding an advantage within the rules. They're trying to figure out that right now. People try to find competitive advantages to win, especially when jobs are on the line, when it's a win-driven profession. If you don't perform, you know, it's kind of like any job, though. If I don't do my job here at WKAR, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be fired. I'm going to be on the streets, folks. I am trying every single day to make sure that I bring you a solid product that you enjoy. If I don't do my job and perform and get the W, if you will, I'm jobless. That's the society we live in. And you know, so I get the mentality. But at the same time, you can't break the rules. Do it the legal way, folks. So when looking at Tom Brady's, you know, overall reputation within the game of football, Tom Brady is still, I don't care if he was playing with a basketball out there in the game or a beach ball for that matter. Tom Brady is still one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Did he try and you know, did he break the rules and try to find a competitive advantage? Yes, he did, without a doubt. But there, I guarantee there are other greats in the game who have done this or have tried to do it or are doing it as we speak. So, you know, and I think, you know, the only way to make the, you know, people forget about this is just to go out there and perform to the best of your abilities. You know, going back to, you remember when Kobe Bryant had that big situation out in Colorado? He cheated on his wife. He was found, you know, there was a big, you know, sexual assault case going on. And he went out, he had the press conference. Vanessa, his wife, sitting there, she's in tears. He apologized to her. He bought her the biggest ring in the history of rings. What was so interesting, because I wanted to see how Kobe would react to this and whether or not it will affect the product that we saw on the court, game in and game out. And Kobe made the haters just zip that mouth shut by his play out in the court. Kobe was fantastic out in the basketball court after that incident. And you know, we just quickly forgot about it. People don't, sometimes people, you know, in casual conversation, when talking about the greatness of Kobe Bryant, people kind of forget about that whole thing in Colorado. So that's what Tom Brady has to do. Tom Brady just has to does what he does on the football field. And I think people will forget about this. But it will be a little etch on his resume to say, hey, remember when? That will be something that's brought up for years to come. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have one of my favorite callers on line one. My man, 1,000 grand, Apachu. How you doing?
1,000 grand. Hey, man, thank you. Of course, I'm a Michigan man. I like Michigan, but I'm not defending Tom Brady. I'm challenging the idea that it's going to be a tarnish on his reputation. Who was drafted number one this year? And we knew all along who was going to be drafted number one. Mm-hmm. Everybody was going to overlook that because of money. You know, look at the timing that this came up. after the draft, you know, after the Super Bowl. And look what happened with the fight game. I understand that somebody wants to sue the fight game because what's his name?
Manny Pacquiao and his shoulder injury.
Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Pacquiao had this shoulder injury, and everybody was hush hush. And a lot of people had to be in that conspiracy. Okay, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, man. And so a lot of people were hush hush. And you gave a good example of Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant did some crazy stuff. And you know what? Here he is doing commercials again.
Right.
You know, so I don't think of the tarnish on his reputation. I think, you know, I used to officiate basketball for high school, and we would check the balls before the game. We would check the bounce of the balls, how high they would bounce and so forth. I think in the manual there's even they give the inches of how high it should bounce,
mm-hmm.
so forth. I think the NFL messed up in that. They don't have a rule where they're responsible for checking the balls at the beginning of the game. I was just at an AAU game, and I saw the Flint team. They brought their own basketball, and every game they played, they made sure that it was their basketball they were using. And basketballs definitely feel different and dribble different.
Right.
And if you play with your ball, you have an advantage, whereas if you play with a new ball or a ball that's provided by you, it's a little bit of a different feel. So I think it's a responsibility of the NFL, but it goes back to Roger Goodell getting in trouble, getting caught lying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and giving his man a weak sentence and so forth. They're the ones that are really in the hot seat. I think he's all right. Ain't nothing happen to this dude, man. You know, he's going to get more money, and if he gets a fine, I think his boss is going to pay for it under the table. So I don't think he has anything to worry about.
Right.
I'm just shocked. Really, I'm very, very shocked that, Al, that this is such a big deal.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had a guy, he's a murderer, man. He's doing prison time right now. You got a guy in ESPN that was accused of murder and very likely might have done it. You know, you got guys, a crack addict, that's mm-hmm. one of their announcers. You got a coach who used to beat up his kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
He got sued for it and so forth. And he owns ESPN. So where's the tarnishment at, man? You know, who's being tarnished? I mean, it's all about money.
Right.
You know, and that's the saddest thing about it. We just got ripped off with a fight. And that doesn't seem to be a bigger issue than this Inflategate, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to defend him, but God, I can't see that as a major issue, you know? So
right. And, you know, the reason why I think it is about you, and, you know, and I totally agree with you. The thing about Tom is because, you know, Tom Brady, it's kind of like, you know, going back to when Tiger Woods, you know, and the persona that Tiger Woods had within the game of golf. I mean, two guys, you know, Tom and Tiger, who are painted to be, you know, the golden boys, the golden childs of their respective sports. And they could do no wrong. And, you know, finally, when something happens about them, a scandal of some sorts, I mean, people automatically become intrigued. People love drama, Apache. And when you have someone who was painted as, you know, this guy who could never make a mistake, and then when he finally does, it's just how our society is. They want to harp on it and talk about it.
You know, and he plays for the Patriots, and I really don't like the Patriots, but I like him because he's from Michigan, and mm-hmm. and I think that's why I don't have those feelings. There's a lot of guys I'm very jealous of, and when they fall, man, I feel no pity because they make big money, man.
Right, right.
They make big money, you know, and we struggle every day, but they make big money, so when they fall, you know, it ain't no big deal for me. You know, I kind of cherish that, too. I remember some psychologists saying that we want to see him rise and become famous and all that, and after a while, we get jealous, you know. And when we see him fall, we kind of take pleasure in that, too. So if you were a Michigan man, then I'd probably be like a lot of the other people, man. But I'm just amazed. I mean, they're doing it on CNN.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like this is a world issue. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
At some point in time, the NFL should have been responsible, ultimately, for checking those balls, but evidently that was never been a part of their policy. But I bet you, starting now, it is going to be a part of their policy. They're going to come out there with an armed guard, okay, with AK-47 and stuff, and footballs, making sure nobody touches them. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, it's
right.
A pleasure.
Exactly. No, I agree about you. And, you know, that was the big talk. I was watching SportsCenter last night, and they had a few veteran NFL analysts talking about how the NFL really dropped the ball, you know, no pun intended there, when it comes to this subject as well, because they didn't do all they could to making sure that, you know, they alleviated this problem. So I'm with you. We're on the same page, Apachu. All right. Apachu, appreciate the call, my man. Again, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Always, you know, a great call when Apachu calls in. Great perspective there, because I also believe, Isaac, that, yeah, the NFL did drop the ball when it comes to the situation. I mean, there's definitely going to be different protocol when making sure at the PSI levels for, you know, whatever game it is, that the footballs are checked and inspected thoroughly, very, very thoroughly. So, yeah, the NFL is also on the hot seat when it comes to this subject as well. Again, folks, what do you think about Deflategate? What is your perception of Tom Brady? Is it now tarnished? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be bringing you a very cool feature from the world of golf. We'll talk golf boarding with WKAR Scott Pohl. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
For keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service.
I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones
with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
This afternoon at 4 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to quickly remind you all, we actually had some unfortunate news yesterday. Actually, right after I got off the air on Current Sports Radio, I went to my office and listened to a voicemail that I had received on Tuesday night, around, you know, around midnight, 11-something, you know, 11:50 or so. And it was a call from, of course, Lansing Community College men's basketball head coach Mike Ingram. Mike had totally forgot that he actually had a banquet, a team banquet to attend on Wednesday night at the same time that we hold our Current Sports TV tapings. So Mike, unfortunately, was not able to sit down with me on this week's TV show. So we are actually running an encore presentation of a fantastic interview that I had with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, longtime sports broadcaster Richard Kincaid. He's such a knowledgeable guy. He's written, what, two books. We had a packed audience for it, so, you know, it was definitely highly rated, if you will. So if you want to check that out again, that's Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. Encore presentation of my sit-down with longtime sports broadcaster Richard Kincaid. And, you know, and thoughts and condolences go out to everyone in the Lansing Community College athletic family, because one of the reasons why, you know, Mike, you know, he totally whiffed and forgot that he had the banquet is because a lot has been on his mind. Of course, if you didn't know, one of, you know, Lansing Community College's famed basketball players, Montel Smith, he actually passed away on April 23rd in an auto accident on Hartell Road in Grand Ledge. Montel, of course, is only 22 years old. Just a really unfortunate incident, and just a blanket of just sadness has really overtaken the Lansing Community College community, not just in athletics. So thoughts and condolences to the Lansing Community College men's basketball program and, of course, head coach Mike Ingram. We're going to get Mike on, though. We rescheduled for the first week in June. So June 3rd is when June 10th, excuse me, that week in June 3rd. We don't have a Current Sports TV taping, but June 10th. At 6 p.m., well, actually 3 p.m., we're moving the time up from 6 to 3 for the summertime. So on June 10th at 3 p.m., if you want to come out to that taping with Mike Ingram, please do so by simply going online at WKAR.org. We actually have a caller right now who wants to talk about Deflategate. Before we get to our Current Sports feature of the day, we've got my man Kirk from Grand Ledge online, too. Kirk, how you doing?
Not too bad, Al.
Good, my man.
Now, what's the old saying? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's the old saying. That is true. That's true, Kurt. My man, I was gonna you stole the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say that at the end of the show. You kind of stole my thunder, but hey, you're the man, Kurt. You're the man.
Now, here's a couple of things I just want to toss out there in relationship to this whole issue and the who he is and who he plays for, okay, in terms of Tom Brady. Okay, I dare say that if this had been the quarterback of a Houston Texan, he would have already been suspended. This would have been long gone. It would have been taken care of probably before the Super Bowl was even over with, kind of stuff, as opposed to Tom Brady. And I think he's gotten some deference for who he is in terms of letting the Super Bowl go on, not addressing this whole thing until this point in time. And I think the NFL has certainly manipulated the situation somewhat in order so they can have stuff in the news after the draft and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other part. He plays for the New England Patriots. What's going to prevent him from having much reasonable doubt from a lot of people who aren't U of M or New England Patriots fans is the fact that he plays for the Patriots, who have been found to be cheaters on so many different levels. I mean,
right.
Belichick didn't get the nickname Belichick for no reason.
Exactly. Yeah, just go back to the whole Spygate incident. You remember that one, right? Yeah.
The Spygate thing, you know, the way they're trying to cover their butts in regards to Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
All different kinds of things. So, you know, who he is and who he plays for, you know, there's stuff on both sides of the ledger that's going to help and hinder him.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And, you know, looking at it, it was so interesting because when going back, I actually watched the press conference. I went back and watched the press conference. And, of course, in lieu of this news about Tom Brady, when, you know, after this news broke about, you know, possibly tampering with the footballs, and he addressed the media. And it was so crazy because if Tom would have just came out at that moment and said, yeah, I messed up. I did it. I didn't know. I did, you know, maybe he possibly may have possibly alluded to. I didn't know. Was that serious? Who knows? But if he would have just came out and just been honest at that moment instead of saying what you heard during our montage to start the show as, no, I didn't cheat. I like the balls a certain way, but at the same time, we don't tamper with them. We don't mess with them. If he would have fessed up then, I think this whole thing would have been, that would have cushioned the blow at least, I think, Kurt.
Yeah, especially coming off a victory that they had over Indianapolis. Well, like you said, they could have been throwing Nerf balls around out there and it wouldn't have made any difference.
Right, exactly. I agree. Hey, Kurt, great call. Appreciate it, my man.
Hey, one other little
thing. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ken, Al, when you talked about the stuff from the Celtics of old and the locker room and things.
Right.
I've heard stories that it was more than just that. It's that parquet floor in the garden, the old garden, had dead spots and stuff in it, and all the Boston Celtic players knew exactly where they were and would try and steer defensively players into those dead spots so they'd make the ball bounce a little funny and throw them off their thing. So there's all kinds of stuff. But the NFL being accountable, I always thought it was goofy that the NFL, you got to play with your own football. You know, that when you're on offense, you get one ball. When the other team is on offense, they get another ball. Think of basketball. Like, okay, someone makes a basket, now they're going to inbound, so then they grab a different ball off the rack and throw it in.
Right. Makes no sense, right?
Makes no sense whatsoever.
I agree. And, you know, that's so funny. I've never heard of that story where there were dead spots. Isaac, have you ever heard of that?
No, that's a new one to
me. Wow. That is interesting. Thanks a lot, Kirk. Appreciate that, man.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That is so funny. I'm going to have to do a lot of Googling after the show, but I could see that, though. I mean, you know, there's so many stories of different teams and different athletes trying to find that competitive advantage, though. That's very enlightening. Appreciate that, Kirk. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks. Well, you've heard of surfing. You've heard of skateboarding. You've heard of snowboarding. Maybe you've even tried one of them or all of them. But I'll bet you haven't heard of golf boarding. That's right. Golf boarding is a new phenomenon in golf. Rather than walking or using a golf cart, golfers step onto a motorized skateboard-like device to get around the course. Now, it looks like a cross between an oversized skateboard and a Segway. Now, only one golf course in Michigan currently offers golf boarding. So, current state Scott Pohl went to Ann Arbor to check it out.
I'm at the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club near Ann Arbor to learn about the first golf boards in Michigan. Members of the club have been invited to a demonstration led by John Kensley, director of golf here and at a sister course in Ypsilanti.
We're just going to take off down the middle of number one, kind of head over by the bunker. We'll make a big soft U-turn and head on back. And this is where you see where this really is a lot of fun and very easy because you're not doing much now.
Part of Kensley's message to these folks is to not be intimidated by the golf boards, not even if you've never been on a skateboard. Operation is pretty simple. You put your bag of clubs on a small rack in front of you, and there's even a drink holder built into the Segway-like handle. The handle is really just to hold on to. You put one foot in front of the other and lean forward to turn right or lean back to turn left. It's designed to prevent jackrabbit starts and sudden stops. I drove one around for a while and couldn't tip it over, zipping around the course in no time. John Kensley.
They're much easier to operate than a lot of people might think when they first look at them. But when you add that to approximately 40 pounds with a full set of golf clubs, it's even that much easier. So it's very easy to work your way around the golf course. And I took it out and made sure that we didn't have any real challenging areas. And there wasn't any area that you couldn't get around with the maneuverability of the golf board.
Now, you have two courses, and I understand you've decided not to have these at the other course. Can you explain why?
Well, we have a little winding creek that goes through the golf course in Ypsilanti. And that golf course, the way that the bridges have been designed, have a pretty severe slope leading up to the bridge and coming off the bridge. There's just not quite enough clearance with regards to the steepness and the clearance of the golf board to go over that.
Yes.
So at some point, we may actually reconfigure those bridges to allow that to happen. But at this point, while we're still making sure that our decision was a good one to bring these on board, this is the facility that's best for that to happen at. And this is a little bit flatter facility. The great thing about these boards is a number of our members found out today is you can take them up and down very severe hills without any problem. But it still takes a while to feel comfortable that you can do that. And we definitely have more hilly terrain over at the Washtenaw Ypsilanti Golf Course.
What do you think this is going to bring to the course in terms of attracting new members maybe? What sorts of benefits might you as a business gain from having these here?
It's a great question. I actually think having the golf boards is something that would tremendously move the needle at a daily fee. I think you get some people that aren't really sure if they want to play golf, and now they see that and say, hey, that's going to be a lot of fun. For a private course, you're more, did you make a commitment to wanting to be a part of a club? But I think when you look at if you're looking to be a member at a club and you look at all the different options that are out there and so on, one of the things you look at is this club progressive? What kind of things are they doing? And I think this is the kind of thing where you look and say, that's a club that isn't stuffy, still understands the traditions of this great game, but is willing to do some different things and so on. I think as we're talking with some of our members, I think what you might see is some of that more occasional golfer that might play 6 or 8 rounds might now play 10 or 12. So I think there'll be a business uptick for us because of it. But ultimately, I think it's just more the atmosphere and the culture that we're trying to demonstrate to our members and our future members.
Explain to me how or if someone who hears this story wants to try them. You're a private club. Is there access to the club so they can try the golf board?
We're actually doing a preview membership for the month of May. And it gives people an opportunity to test drive the membership, much in the same way we just had a test drive of the golf boards. And so that would be an opportunity to come out and for a very nominal fee be able to play both of our great golf courses, experience the golf boards as well as all the other things that our club has to offer. We are a private club, and that's important to have that exclusivity for the people that have committed to our membership. So really, if you're not a member or coming along to be a member, then as far as trying the golf boards, unfortunately, you have to wait for somebody else to have them. But we hope that it will bring in some new members that would love to have a chance to play golf in a little bit different way than it has been played before.
My name's Justin McNeil. I'm the golf board rep for the state of Michigan.
Since this is the first course in Michigan that has them, this must be the only course you're servicing right now, right?
That's correct. Now that the weather is broken, Polo Fields was nice enough to get on board early, and they're the first facility to have it in Michigan, and everyone's really excited.
You're expecting more, though.
Of course. It's funny that once the first adopter is in, a lot more folks are becoming interested and seeing the Facebook videos, and everyone's really excited, so I definitely anticipate more coming on board.
Give me your elevator pitch for why a golfer would want to use one of these.
I think the biggest thing is if you're going to spend 4 hours of your time these days doing any activity, that it has to be something you really love. And the game of golf has needed something to help you know, excite the sport a little bit. And the golf board, I think, does that, because not only are you playing golf, you get to do something active and have fun riding the course, doing some great turns. So I think people are going to like that. And otherwise, they're saying that you can get around the course in 2.5 to 3 hours as opposed to the normal 4.5-5 hour round, because now you're going to your own ball as opposed to following everyone else.
And they're fun to use.
They are. We just did a demo here, and everyone came off and loved it. What we find at Golf Board is that people who use the golf board will return to use it 90% of the time. So I get a call usually once or twice a week from folks in Utah or California who have ridden it out there, who are asking where can they ride the golf board here in Michigan.
Golfers may someday choose the course they're going to play at based on whether they can use a golf board when they get there.
I really think
Wouldn't
that's
that
the case. I really think that's the case. I think this is something that people are now seeing and asking, you know, what is that? And I really do think courses can differentiate themselves by having this at their facility. It's easier than it looks. The other big thing I notice is that the demographic who uses the board, one common misconception is that it's only for young people. And the guys who call me and email me looking for personal use boards are 40 to 60 years old. And it's actually a lot of the older demographic who loves using it. And the board's easy enough to use that you really don't have to be a surfer or any much athletic ability at all. You can just go and ride the board and have a good time.
The people here to try out golf boarding seem to think it could be a fun alternative to using a cart.
My name is Janine Collins.
What appealed to you about coming out for this demonstration?
They just looked fun. I saw a video that the club had posted, and I had a look at it. And of course, they've been talking about it for a while, and yeah, just thought it would be fun and wanted to have a look.
What did you think?
I thought it was fun. Yeah, easier than I thought. Yeah, I think with a little bit of practice, you get a little bit more comfortable and looser, and it would be even better. But yeah, definitely fun.
My name is Richard Scott. I've been a member here at the Polo Fields for I don't know how many years, but I've got a very low number, so I was early on.
What did you think of this demonstration?
We were introduced to the concept through the video that we were all required to watch, which was very helpful. And then we were actually kind of excited to get out here and try these. And we weren't disappointed. I think my wife and I both enjoyed the experience. I've reserved one for tomorrow for a round of golf, and I can't wait to get out and try it. They're very user-friendly. I was a little worried about, you know, being able to handle it. Am I going to fall off of this thing? But actually, after just a few minutes, I think the danger will be not to get too confident too quickly. So I'm going to just go slow tomorrow.
I'm Diane Heiss.
And you're also a member here?
I've been a member for about, I'd say, 12 years now.
Were you ever a surfer, skateboarder, snowboarder before trying this today?
Not a snowboarder, but I did a lot of skiing. So I was really anticipating something a little bit different. And boy, this was great. It was really fun to get on that board and move around.
Were you someone who approached this opportunity to try it with some trepidation, or were you really looking forward to it coming out here today?
Well, I really wanted to try it, but I also didn't want to embarrass myself by falling off. And I'm very happy to say I wasn't going to fall off. I felt very secure, very safe.
Golf boarding looks like a lot of fun, but it is different from walking or riding a cart. I'd speculate that all the leaning forward and backward to steer it will amount to a core workout that many golfers aren't used to. I also felt it in my arms, but that's due in part to the natural inclination to pull the handle to steer, even though that doesn't really steer it. That might go away once you're fully used to shifting your weight to steer. It won't be for everybody. Can golf boarding attract people who have never set foot on a golf course? Proponents hope that it might draw new and younger players to the game. Maybe today's snowboarders, shredding mountains of snow, will be tomorrow's golf boarders, zipping around America's courses. From the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club near Ann Arbor, this is Scott Pohl for Current State.
Scott, thanks so much. That was a fantastic piece. And, you know, that's really the question, whether or not an invention like this can bring, you know, younger individuals who really don't have much experience with the game of golf and really kind of spark that interest. Because right now, I got to be honest, folks, I mean, golf courses across America are in code red as far as attracting people to their golf course, more specifically, the young generation. It's not driving in revenue like it once did. So, hopefully new inventions like this one as well as there's even possibilities of widening the golf hole itself, so that you can make your putts easier, because people love instant gratification, right? And even there's even talks about a new initiative called soccer golf, where you go out there and actually kick a soccer ball at the golf course, and you play it just like you're hitting a regular golf ball. Pretty cool stuff. Great feature by Scott Pohl. Appreciate that. Let's hit our second break here on WKR's Current Sports. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with Throwback Thursday and a little NBA chatter. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and rewind the clock to see exactly what happened on this particular date in sports. We dub it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long. Eisenman,
back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Good! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it.
Ah, yes. You hear the montage. Ah, gotta love that Throwback Thursday music, huh? Well, let's take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday. Today is May 7th, 2015. What exactly happened on May 7th in the world of sports? 1925, the Philadelphia Phillies, they had their eighth game in a row postponed. That's a long delay, right? 1945, baseball owner Branch Rickey announced the organization of the United States Negro Baseball League. How about that? Now, there were six teams actually that participated. I love that. 1951, Russia was admitted to participate in the 1952 Olympic Games by the International Olympic Committee. 1956, Bill White of the New York Giants hit a home run on his first at-bat. Wow. 1959, at Los Angeles Coliseum, 93,103 people watched the Dodgers beat the New York Yankees. In 1982, a United States federal jury ruled that the NFL violated antitrust laws by preventing the Oakland Raiders from moving to L.A. How about that? That's pretty interesting, right? All right, in 1983, this guy's strong. August Hoffman performed a record 29,051 consecutive sit-ups. Wow, that sounds like myself. Shout out to August Hoffman. 1995, the Minnesota Twins and the Cleveland Indians played 17 innings in 6 hours and 36 minutes. The Twins won 10-9. And last, but certainly not least, in 2006, Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants hit his 713th home run, which brought him one home run away from tying the great Babe Ruth on the career hit list. Wow, that's fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Well, that wraps up our Throwback Thursday for this May 7th. A very eventful May 7th, to say the least. 1 minute left in the show. Oh, boy, we couldn't get to our NBA action. We'll postpone that conversation for tomorrow. But I don't know if you saw Inside the NBA last night, Isaac. Did you see Shaquille O'Neal fall flat on his face during Inside the NBA? Hilarious stuff. They have the most fun on any TV station of all time. And also, they actually had a lip sync battle. If you haven't seen it, folks, YouTube it. It'll just put a smile on your face, all right? It will make your day, all right? Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday, and be easy, people.